Good morning. You got to listen twice now to make up for those who are not here. I tried my best to get word around, but it would have had to have been untrue. So here we are. Good to see you this morning. I want to talk to you about some scriptures that you have heard. But I would like first to tell you a story. I don't hardly ever do that. But this one is one that is to emphasize that my concern is with you. And we will be praying for all of our brethren who are in other places today, and I feel sure that most of them are worshiping God. There's a little white church building near Occoquan, Georgia. I'm sure everybody's been there. But the story is told that they were having a meeting. A preacher had come in. They really don't have a regular preacher. But a preacher had come in to preach in a series of meetings. And he's at the building waiting for people to show up. And it's raining. Now, if you've ever seen the rainy night in Georgia, you know it can really rain. It was raining and raining. And finally, an old cowboy rode up on his horse. He got off, brought his slicker in, and hung it up. And they waited about 10 or 15 minutes after time to start. And the preacher said, "I don't believe anybody's coming." And the cowboy said, "Preacher, I rode that horse 20 miles in the rain. I came to hear a sermon." Preacher said, "Okay." Now you think, well, he just has one person, so he won't preach very long. But he went on and on and on and finally finished. And after he finished, the cowboy walked up to him and said, "Preacher, I feed cattle. But if I take a whole load of feed out and only one old cow shows up, I don't dump the whole load on her." So if you feel dumped on today, well, just take it up with me. It's so important for us to realize what God has told us. And I have to tell you, we'll stay within our time parameters, mine, which are established. But the other night, as I was praying, just before I went to sleep, quite often I do that because I love God and I can never thank Him enough. But a verse of Scripture surfaced in my mind that I have not used in some time. The reason I haven't used it in a number of years is because I used it almost every time I got in the pulpit for a long time. And now Julie's going to be showing you some stuff on the screen. But most of you know that I'm looking at you. And I had discovered that people were getting kind of bored at me using that same verse over and over. But if it's not underlined in your Bible, please change that today. In Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30, and you've heard that, your translation may be just a little bit different. But it says, the fruit, and that's what we're talking about today is the fruit. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And one version, the one I like best, is, and he who wins souls is wise. Let's just use it one more time again, and please write it down. If you don't want to mark up your Bible, mine's so marked up until the marks are getting in the way of one another. But you do whatever you want to with yours. But Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Remember where the tree of life was? It was in the Garden of Eden, Genesis 2. It shows up again in the book of Revelation. The tree of life. And so, there is another tree called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And our first psalm dealt with that too, did it not? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Remember the songs? And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. What kind of tree? Which brings forth its fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Sounds like an evergreen. A fruit-bearing evergreen. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. The Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. That's the beginning of the book of Psalms. And Proverbs 11 and verse 30 by the wise man. I would counsel you to remember that verse. It's short, but it's beautiful. And perhaps the next time, I shouldn't say this, but perhaps the next time when we meet on Sunday evening and we need to talk about something, you can tell me what that verse means, Proverbs 11:30. So I'm counting on you. You know, all of us, everybody perhaps in this whole group, all this multitude of people, have assumed a life position a long time ago. Now, do you know what that is? You decided somewhere in your infancy what you were going to be and what you were going to do. I didn't want to embarrass him, so it's been bouncing around in my head. Isaac is back there. And when I was about his age, just a little older than him, 5. If you haven't met him, you need to meet him. You won't have any trouble meeting him and getting acquainted with him. And I've been trying to figure out what he's going to do. I think he's really close to his life position. But I remember when I established mine. I was 5 years old. The fifth year of my life, I spent most of my time with my father's mother and father, who lived on a dirt road in a log house not far from us. This is not fiction. This is the truth. I remember remember that I went a number of places, and there, you know, there were wild plums growing around, and there was other things, and I was hungry. I don't ever remember not being hungry when I was small. And there was a crabapple tree down the road about half a mile. I had smelled the blooms in the spring. My grandmother, and she was rather devious about this, you'll probably figure that out, but she said, crab apples are not good to eat. Don't eat them. Said that to a five-year-old. And then on the other side of the house, there was this persimmon tree. I hear some of you laughing. You know what a persimmon is. Some of you don't. We'll try to introduce you one day. But she said to me, I mean, they looked good. They were that big. Wild persimmons. Probably 3 bushels on that tree. And she said, those things are not good to eat until after it frosts a couple of times. You think I'd ever touch one of those? You're right. I did. When she wasn't with me, they weren't far away, so... There was another thing that she told me that I remember. You said, you're 82, almost 83, and you remember this stuff? Yeah, but I can't remember what I had for breakfast, but I do remember this, and it does have a point, if I can make it. There was a ladder leaning up against the house, and grandmother said, her name was Belle, Annabelle, she pointed to the ladder and she said, now we're coming up on Friday, and it's not just Friday, it's Friday the 13th. Do not walk under that ladder, or something bad will happen to you. Of course, I'm still here, so I must not have walked under the ladder, right? You know, I just didn't believe stuff like that. I thought she was just trying to play a trick on me. And it worked. I remember tasting a crab apple and how awful it tasted. I remember biting into a persimmon, and I couldn't move my lips. They totally puckered together. But this is fruit. This is fruit. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. But let me tell you, green persimmons and any stage of crab apples don't fall into that category. Now, if you want to try it for yourself, that's fine. It's so important for us to recognize that the Bible talks about fruit. Let's spend a little time in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 26. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the flesh, let us also walk in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. The fruit of the Spirit is so very important. In Galatians 2:20, Paul said, I continue to be, crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but but he who lives, Christ who lives in me. And I live now by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. John knew what scriptures are some of them I was going to use, and I deeply appreciate what he does. And I am sorry that I'm not getting when I preach. We have yet figured out how to get stuff to Julia early, but I hear she does a great job. I'm sorry I'm looking at you and not looking at the readouts there, but I have great confidence in her. We talked this morning, and I tried to keep quiet in Mark's class. I didn't, but I tried. But many of the things that Mark is talking about as he teaches this beautiful book of Romans is so essential to our salvation, to our lives. In Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, by grace you have been saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. We are saved by grace through faith. It is a gift of God. In verse 10 in Ephesians 2, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that he has before ordained that we should walk in them. By the grace of God. And we use that a lot in this church family. I hear it over and over again. I'll refer to a few more of these scriptures as we come down to the end of our study this morning. Law condemns. In James 2:10, James tells us that if we offend in one point in the law, we're guilty of all. If you're driving 65 miles an hour in a 40-mile zone, and a policeman stops you, you may say, quite innocently, or try to, why did you stop me? This, you broke the law. What law? I've kept all the laws. The only law that I may have broken is I was driving a little fast. So he says, okay, that's all right, you go on, just be careful. Now, wait a minute. He'll probably write you a ticket. Unless you're a woman and you start crying, or you've told your wife, when he stops us, just really cry. You know, and tell him we don't have any money and we were talking and it's your fault, and he'll probably let us go. He might, but you haven't met the wonderful officers that I've met. If that's true. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why Jesus had to die. That's why every week we spend time remembering Jesus, remembering that he died. Now, I had planned, before it rained, see if you get that, I had tried to get in from the third chapter of the book of Galatians, beginning in verse 21, actually verses 21 and 22, where he talks about the law. And Paul talks about the law, and he tells us in Galatians 3, 16 through 29, the purpose of the law. Literally, the law, and I hope you'll remember it this way, this is how I remember it. The law was our pettigo. You know what a pettigo was? Is? Thank you. See, your kids are listening. That's why I still preach. Pettigo was a combination bus driver and school teacher. I've been there, okay? A Pettigo instructed and took care of a youngster at a certain age, usually the boys. And by the time they were 12, they knew a trade. But he says the law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And I want to emphasize, just before I decide what else I'm not going to burden you with this morning, I guess if I didn't tell tales, I'd get a little more done. But Jesus said in John 5:39 to the Jews, "Search the Scriptures. You think that they bring you eternal life, but they are what talks about me." And so it's important to know that so many of these things from Isaiah 53 and many others that are talking about Jesus. In John chapter 1 and verse 16, this verse talks about grace. And it uses a preposition that I beg to differ with, but that's okay. The translation says, we have received the fullness from Christ and grace upon grace. Grace upon grace. There is faith to faith, and there is grace upon grace. And there is glory to glory. All talked about in the setting that I'm looking at here. What purpose was the law? Well, we've already talked about that. And if you had been in the class this morning, you would appreciate very much what Mark did in dealing with that. In Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 2, there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Listen to it. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Thus the fruit that comes forth from a righteous person is a tree of life. And that's what we need in this congregation. There is law and grace. We just finished reading that, or me quoting it somewhat. And there is grace in God's law. The one that we live under now, if not, we would be totally condemned. Grace is a gift. We cannot earn it and do not deserve it. Mercy is not getting what we deserve, and we get that in abundance. And the word justified, I often get criticized when I say justified is just as if we had never sinned. Somebody says, well, that's not the meaning of that. Maybe not. But if you're justified, do you have to pay for your sins? Who justifies us? How are we justified? So it's important that we remember that. One other verse here from James chapter 3. And it's in the last, probably the last two verses, but I have the 18th verse down. The wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits. And the harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Now, I don't know how you'd make a crabapple good to eat. I think I've even seen recipes for crabapples, and I think they probably were put together by someone like my grandmother Pope. And persimmons are good once they are ripe. The ripeness comes through us when we obey the Lord. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. We have soul winners here. There is no telling how much good we can do. I am awed, humbled, and a lot of other good words, to serve with three other men as we serve as the bishops, the pastors, the elders of this congregation. We need your help. We need it more than just prayers. And we think that we have discovered that you may think that we're moving a little slowly. You're right. Actually, the word is deliberate. We want to get a family here to work with us that long after I've finished my course, this church will still be growing and prospering. I hope you're praying for that too. And help God's great search for us by telling him what you want. Now, I realize you'd like to have a guy 40 years old who has red hair on this side and gray hair on this side, who's 6 feet 4 inches tall but stands short. Well, I'm really not kidding you. I'm talking about what's going on. But we're asking God, what do you want? This lesson is yours. I have several things that I didn't get to, but that's not unusual for me. But I do try to stop. I feel like we're kind of like the old cowboy this morning. But I see you listening. You know, you can really see a person listening. I see you listening, and thank God for you. Please keep me in your prayers. Obviously, you have. Please continue. And if there's anything that you need help with, we are family, and you will receive help if you just let us know as we stand and sing this song that John has selected.